All right, listen, we're going to kick off the first dipper here momentarily. I'm calling an audible, JP. I'm going straight into dipper number two, Simplify. I feel like it ties in with the monologue a whole lot better. And then we'll do the deportation jackassery second. But if you didn't see it, I'll kick it off by saying this. In relation to my monologue, it fits quite well. So last week I made mention of the fact that Dakota Meyer, a Marine Corps veteran who received the Medal of Honor for his actions in Afghanistan in 2009. He was in, I believe, Kunar Province, Afghanistan. He just re-enlisted in the Marine Corps. He just had a 15-year break in service. 15-year break in service. Decided he was coming back. And it was a big deal. I mean, first of all, he's a Medal of Honor winner. I think he's one of only two Medal of Honor awardees who are still in uniform right now. They're not retired or deceased. Well, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is the one who actually administered the oath of enlistment and swore him in. And Meyer is now 36 years old. So, by the way, just saying, a 36-year-old sergeant is still fairly old by Army and Marine Corps standards. And he's not enlisting to be a poster boy. He's enlisting to go back into the ranks. He's going into the reserves, but I have a feeling he'll be doing a lot. This is what Pete Hegseth said. Think about what I just said about my monologue, Samuel Whittemore, a minute ago. Hegseth said this. He said, "We're doing this, talking about the ceremony, as big as we can because I want the American people, I want your fellow Marines, and I want other service members to look at your example and know that you're never too old, you're never too experienced, and you're never done too much to contribute, and I salute you," said Hegseth. So when Meyer took the oath, he then gave his own commentary, and he did a subsequent interview in which he basically said, the same reason that I joined 20 years ago is the same reason I'm coming back in. I've got more to give. It's just an honor to be able to come stand shoulder to shoulder next to men and women who are still wearing the nation's cloth today. And he also went on to say at one point, there's never been a more important time than now to enlist and to be there to defend our nation against those that would try to tear it down. I agree with that. When I come back from the break, I'll tell you about some things that are being done right now for veterans. I'll tell you about some things that are being done to increase enlistments. I'll tell you about the idea of basically building the force and also supporting the veterans as part of our Semper Fi Dipper. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Man, this first hour is almost over. Goodness. All right, I'm in Dipper number one right now. Semper Fi. Always faithful. It's the motto of the Marine Corps, but I thought it was just fitting to make it the name of this Dipper. But yeah, always faithful. And I think that's something that is, I'll be honest with you. I think it's been missing. Not from the troops, although I think the troops have, a lot of the rank and file got very lackadaisical because they had no reason to do otherwise. Not everybody. And listen, that's not a broad blanket. I'm not going to just brush everybody with the same stroke here. But what I am saying is this, is leadership matters. And for the last several years, we have been in a place where the military was seen as, I keep calling it the petri dish for social experimentation, right? It was the place where, you know, it's just that we have to have it, you know, but let's go ahead and use it for things we like, not that we don't like. And so that's why we had a U.S. military, a Department of Defense annual report that came out every year for the last 4 years naming climate change as one of the existential threats to our society, and the Department of Defense having a role in that. Climate change. The Department of Defense has nothing to do with the aspects of so-called climate change. It fights its wars whether it's raining or hot or cold or anything. Just listen, that's ridiculous. But what it did was it gave them the platform to be able to say, we're going to electrify all of the military vehicles, and we're going to electrify all of the buildings, and we're going to use solar power, and we're going. It got stupid, and then DEI kicks in, and then the softening of the standards, and then recruiting is way down, and it got gross, it just did. Well, it's not now. It's absolutely not. And by the way, you watch, liberals are starting to get their feet under them now. They're starting to find their moments. That's why this, and it's a different subject, but that's why this Abrego Garcia guy down in El Salvador right now, that's why it's such a thing, because they finally found something they can sink their teeth into. They think they have. And that's why you're starting to see more and more of lashing out, like Tesla's being set on fire. That's why you're starting to see courts, you know, getting involved in judges, federal district court judges ruling in a blanket fashion across the entire nation. But I say all that to say, as it relates to the Department of Defense, we have been in a place the last few years, I believe, where veterans were treated second fiddle. I do. I believe that. I say that as one. I say that as a son and grandson of one. And I believe also that the U.S. military was put in very awkward positions to have to do or put up with things it should never have to do or put up with, because that's not what it's designed for. It's almost like, and I can't tell you how many times I've done it, it's like going out in the garage, you know, and you're going to hammer a nail and you don't have your hammer with you, so you grab the back end of a screwdriver, you try to bang it. It's about as much sense as that. It's the wrong, you're trying to get your mission accomplished using the wrong tool. And that's what leftists do with the military all the time. And they abuse the funding of it, and they abuse the care of it, and they abuse the construct of it. You had leaders that were calling for DEI and then no accountability for the Afghanistan pullout. I could go on and on and on. But what I'm saying is, I feel like we're in a different place right now. And that's because I believe we are turning back to a mission-oriented military. A mission-oriented military that knows that its sole function in life is to build warriors who will support and defend the Constitution and who will defeat and deter our enemies on the field of battle. Or at the very least, stand so strong in their ranks that the enemy won't want to come across that line. That's what I feel like we're building again. We're returning common sense. Female soldiers should not have to worry about men sleeping in their barracks or taking showers in their shower rooms. You should not have to worry about who's in the foxhole next to you suddenly leaving because they decide to declare themselves transgender and they don't have to deploy for a year even though you do, because they're going through all their voluntary treatments. We should not have to worry about whether we've lost the idea of meritocracy and begun promoting people based upon their skin color. Like when the U.S. Navy said just a couple of years ago, we have too many white pilots, therefore we're looking for pilots of color. They said that. They said it because they felt empowered to be able to say it. And I think we're back to the point now that we're looking at, if you enlist in the U.S. military, you're enlisting for what the military is supposed to be about. And guess what? They're flocking back in. They are flocking back in to include Medal of Honor winner Dakota Meyer. So I say that Dakota Meyer, somebody said the other day, what does that really mean? I mean, he did his thing. No, I think he is endemic of a broader thing. I think Dakota Meyer's willingness to step into the ranks again as a Medal of Honor winner with a 15-year break in service is a clear indication that we're in a different time. I'll tell you more about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday. I'm still full from yesterday. We went, by the way, we went to brunch. There's a beautiful old place in downtown Anniston called Classic on Noble. And they had an amazing brunch that, like, I looked at, I told Charlene at some point, I looked around all the food laid out everywhere, and I said, the third world cannot contemplate this, and yet this is exactly what the third world thinks of America.
Yep.
I mean, it was, I'm not kidding you when I say it was unbelievable the amount of food that was, like, everywhere.
Easter brunch entails a lot of food, so I think that's pretty fitting.
it just kept coming. Anyway, all that to say, Meatloaf Monday. Here we are. I'm not sure I can have any meatloaf.
Nope. I don't know me either.
Hey, baby, I think I want cereal for dinner. That's where I am right now. All right, I'm in dipper number one. I'm calling it Simplify. No guests today because I wanted time to unpack some stuff with you. And always faithful. So I'm painting the image that, yes, we have been in a place for the last several years where I believe the military has become second fiddle, was treated second rate, although I believe the rank and file desperately wants leadership that will let them be what they are supposed to be. And I think we're going to also see there's going to be a winnowing of the ranks. I think you're already seeing people leaving or being asked to leave who don't understand the idea of meritocracy and the warrior ethos. But those are coming back and those are forefront. Meritocracy and the warrior ethos. And I would say this, also leading the nation with an era or with an aura of gratitude for those who served. Classic example. I've got a piece here I pulled off of Yellowhammer News today. It was a op-ed written by Tommy Tuberville, our U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. And he points out, he says, one of the most shocking discoveries to date has been the corruption within USAID under the Biden administration. He said, from research in Wuhan to transgender operas in Colombia and Sesame Street in Iraq, USAID was essentially a Democrat slush fund. And the extent of the waste at USAID has millions of Americans wondering, why has the government been wasting our taxpayer dollars instead of doing basic things like taking care of veterans? Okay. You see where we're all going here now. That led him, he said, along with Senator Mike Lee from Utah, to introduce the Veterans First Act. All right, so I love this. He says, our bill will take the funds that have been wasted at USAID and redirect them to make improvements to veterans' homes nationwide. I'm for this. He said, the VA State Veterans Home Construction Grant Program is a partnership between the VA and the states to ensure our veterans have a safe place to call home. We have some great ones right here in Alabama. And so their bill would redirect $2 billion of former USAID. Think about the fact that they've canceled so many things and they found so much waste that they can just take a part of it and dedicate $2 billion to veterans. I mean, my gosh, the amount of money in USAID alone that was being just scandalously wasted is unbelievable. But yeah, I love this. I think this is part of saying thank you. They also, by the way, it's not just that one. He's been the sponsor of a thing called the Access Act, and the other one is the Ensuring Continuity in Veterans Health Act to streamline options for community care, and then several others regarding post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury and fraud reimbursement. It's needed. It's there. And I'm telling you, that to me is an indication that we're in a different place. You would have never heard anything under the Biden administration where they would have said, you know, we just don't need to do climate change today. You know, we just don't need to fund DEI efforts in third world countries. You know, I'm sorry, but we just need to cancel the money that the millions that we're sending to that, you know, transgender opera in Ireland and give it to veterans. What a new day. All right, that being said, let's talk about a few other things in that vein. Because right now, this change that we're seeing, I mean, there's anecdotal, and then there's also, I would say, there's actual data. Like, for instance, I pulled this one off Stars and Stripes. Stars and Stripes, Dateline last week, I think last Tuesday, a formation of 71 future service members stood and took their oath of enlistment in front of thousands of baseball fans during the Seattle Mariners salute to the Armed Forces night at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. That's cool. You got literally 71 kids who came out there and stood there, you know, wearing their jeans and high school jackets and everything else, and raised their right hand and swore their oath of enlistment. Commanding officer of the Navy Talent Acquisition Group Pacific Northwest, U.S. Navy Commander Richard Jarko, he administered the oath of enlistment. So when's the last time you heard about something like that? 71 kids at one time at a ballpark.
Probably about 4 years ago.
Fair.
Yeah.
That being said, that's an anecdote, but it's matched by numbers. News Nation, Dateline February of this year, I think it's February 15th. The U.S. Army announced a record-breaking recruitment. marking its most productive December in over a decade. So past December, there's nothing reported in February, but they had the data for year end. The December was a significant turnaround. You remember recruiting has been at epic lows. We had 40-year lows in recruiting over the past few years of the Biden administration. We were literally at the smallest military since pre-World War II. Can you imagine? The smallest U.S. military since pre-World War II. We could not meet mission on recruiting. So we had to do a variety of things. First thing they did was they lowered the standard. They said, okay, we're going to let people in who don't have their GED yet. We're going to change the standards on drug use. And then we're also going to, by the way, we're going to waive the idea of whether you have neck and face tattoos. I mean, it's like, okay, all the things we said were bad are now good. And then what else can we do? Well, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's say that instead of having to recruit 60,000 just for the Army, it's only got to be 40. Yay! Nothing like moving the goalpost to help you meet your mission. Still didn't make it. Now we're saying, officials now say that December 2024 was their best December in 15 years. Right after Trump won the election, shabam! Recruiting went through the roof. Now, liberals and Democrats are trying to say, nuh-uh, it was stuff that we did that put things in place for Trump to take advantage of. Shut up. That's ridiculous. That is absolutely asinine. That is your wishful thinking. Because the truth of the matter is, Trump got elected, announced a new day and who was going to be in his cabinet and what the mission was going to be like to be in the military. And oh, by the way, bam, recruiting went through the roof. They said that in December of 2024, in the Army alone, nearly 350 enlistments every day in that 1 month. Army recruiters shared on X that they were seeing year-end numbers that were way above where they'd been. The Army is riding high. And in fact, I think, if not mistaken, by the end of February, they had seen almost half of their entire annual goal being met. So that counts. Because fiscal year, that'd be November, December, January. They were one quarter into the fiscal year. They had already met half their mission. So, whoo, they're loving life now. Air Force sees historic recruitment surge with their delayed entry program. Dateline, March 6th, Defense News. Air Force seeing a historic surge in recruits in its delayed entry program as the service works to further boost recruitment of new airmen and guardians. We are watching right now. Air Force Chief of Staff General David Alvin announced in March the Air Force had accumulated 13,000 recruits, the most in nearly 10 years. Army's at a 15-year high. Air Force is at a 10-year high. I mean, it just keeps going. And you look at this and go, wow, how can this be? Maybe it's because we're changing the way things run. Like, I don't know. How about accountability? That's a huge one. So when I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you, I've got two articles here that clearly indicate for me that what we're about right now in the military, what we're about right now in this era, what I would say is Semper Fi more so than ever, is we're looking at even accountability for the highest in ranks. I'm talking about officers and enlisted. Like meritocracy, it means accountability too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so I'm talking about Semper Fi. I'm talking about the U.S. military. I'm talking about an attitude in which our military is honored and built on the ideas of meritocracy and the warrior ethos and of taking care of our troops. Yellow Dog Mike's having nothing to do with it. Yellow Dog Mike's all about, you know, hating Hegseth and Yellow Dog is just determined that, you know, we're basically all his closing line on this diatribe is not even worth reading the whole thing. Seriously, what is wrong with you people? Yellow Dog, there's more of us than there are of you, dude. Brian from Decatur says, have you heard of anyone being charged with a crime with all this fraud that's being found anywhere? Not yet. Stand by. Tom, by the way, that does not happen overnight, Brian. I think I need to say that's a change of subject. That's really not what I'm talking about right now, but I will say this. Those of y'all looking for heads to roll have to understand that you just don't indict someone in the public square you have to, in a course of a fraud investigation, you have to first uncover the fraud, then you have to link things accordingly with the fraud. And then you have to indict, which may involve grand jury proceedings first, and then you have to allow for representation, and you don't do that willy-nilly. So anyway, just saying, it's too soon, I think, for that to be coming on. Tom with all the kids in Huntsville says, I agree that things are looking up. I still couldn't in clear conscience recommend joining the military to my children. I could, Tom. I really do. In fact, I'll be honest with you, my money's where my mouth is because mine are. But I'm of the belief that there's probably been no better time to jump in. I'll tell you more about that here momentarily. Junebug from Hartzell saying, I passed by a young man last week who was wearing a profoundly starched Marine uniform. I told him he looked so nice in his uniform that I was sure his mom was very proud of him. He smiled the biggest smile, told me she certainly is proud of him, and I thanked him for his service, and he genuinely thanked me for being supportive of him and the military. And then John from Lexington corrected me on my dates. He says recruiting is 1 October through 30 September, not 31 October. Okay. Thanks. I was 30 days off. They're still doing good. Here's my thing about, by the way, tell my caller that I may get to them. It's going to be close to the edge of the time. Here's my thing. The era that we're in, meritocracy is not just about who did a good job. Meritocracy is also about accountability. So a couple of examples of accountability. It's happening a lot lately. You may have seen, but there have been top-level brass, enlisted and officers, who have been asked to resign or told that their services are no longer needed. For instance, Defense News has a piece that came out last Friday. Former Pentagon spokesman John Ulyatt was asked to resign this week following a contentious start for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. All right, so I want to point something out. It's amazing when you see the lopping off of heads who served under the Biden administration. It's far more amazing, and it's very telling when you realize these are their people. This is someone who is part of Hegseth's own team, who has now been placed on administrative leave. And this relates to the signal communications that were such a problem about, what, a month ago? So Ulyatt was one of Hegseth's initial communications office hires, oversaw some of the most highly visible but controversial moves, including a broad edict into military services to strip away online images that were considered to be part of DEI. And Ulyatt has now been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation. The investigation is not for wrongdoing. It's a meritocracy thing, but it's also an accountability thing. That's one of their own guys. When you consider that their accountability is not just for the previous administration's people, but it's also for their own, I think that is very telling. And here's another one. It's not just for the officers. It's for the enlisted, too. The AFSOC command chief has been relieved amid investigation. So Air Force Special Operations Command's top enlisted airman, he's the chief master sergeant for Air Force Special Operations, was relieved by the AFSOC commander, Lieutenant General Mike Conley. Conley said that there was a, quote, loss of confidence in his ability to fulfill duties. What that basically is saying is something bad happened, and they're not going to label what it is, and the generic statement is a lack of ability to fulfill his duties or loss of confidence. That's a senior-level airman. That's a person right there who was in line to potentially be one of the senior enlisted for the entire U.S. military, certainly the Air Force, who has just probably lost his career over something because accountability is back in vogue. And that's huge. And I think that's part of the Semper Fi, you guys. I do. I think it is. I think it absolutely is a part of the always faithful attitude that what we're seeing right now is we will build a military that is filled with meritocracy, that includes accountability, that, oh, by the way, has a warrior ethos, and that we care for them and we provide what they need as best we can. I got a quick call. I'll take it before the break. I got about a minute and a half. Matt from Madison. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Just real quick, I've noticed in my life that organizations usually reflect the leadership, and I think that Hegseth gets all this attention because they're scared to death of him.
Yeah.
In the short time he's been there, he's already changed the atmosphere, the outlook, and people want a leader that's fierce and will stand up for him, and they've got that Hegseth, and Democrats don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, he's also very out front. He's out there. He's out running with the troops. He's going where the troops are, and he speaks the troops' language. And I think that also freaks them out.
That's why they keep coming after him. They don't come after you if you're doing nothing. But I'm just saying, by the way they're coming after him, I think they're scared to death of them.
I think you're right, Matt. Good call. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Listen. We're going to take a break right now. We'll take a break and come back for another dipper. But you send me your thoughts if you want to. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. What do you think? Are we seeing a change in tone regarding our military and our veterans? Is the left ever going to let us just run the show and do things? No, probably not. But are we more in line now with the ideas of meritocracy with accountability? Are we more in line now with the idea of a warrior ethos? And are we more in line now with the idea of caring for our veterans than we were before? You tell me. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 833-687-4448. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, some deportation jackassery. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.